Yesterday, I talked to you about the snare of the cross, and I realized after I made that recording that it's even worse than that. And I want to get into that worst part right now. This is Martin Zender. Hi, everybody. It's that the snare of the cross produces enemies of the cross of Christ. This is a phrase Paul uses in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to tell you why enemies of the cross of Christ are not who you would think they would be, and I want to tell you, and I will tell you, what produces enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross is repulsive to people, and I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about religious people who claim to be in love with the cross, but it actually hurts them so badly, which is the first problem, because what the cross is supposed to do is not hurt you, it's supposed to kill you. Ideally, the cross of Christ, when you see Jesus Christ dragging his cross to Calvary, and you see him on that cross, whether you're reading about it or you're watching a movie about it, it's supposed to kill you. And I have proof of that. And I'm going to give you that proof in Romans chapter 6. But what it does to most people, it's a gift if it kills you. It's a gift. What it does to most people is it makes them so sorry, it makes them feel so bad for Jesus that they now feel inspired. It's a rally call to them to do something for Jesus, to somehow pay him back, to somehow be found worthy of what they did, of what he did for them. But you see, they're still alive. They're still in the realm of the living. They're still, now they're calculating. On the face of what I just saw, what must I do? This is the beginning of religion, and it's a wrong reaction to the cross, but the cross provokes it. The same cross that provokes people to do something for it is the same cross that provokes other people to realize they're done, they're dead. Where do I go from here? And I'm going to tell you where you go from there. That's the good reaction. But the same cross, this is why it can be a snare for some people, and it's salvation for other people. For some people, it leads them away from salvation. Actually leads them away from salvation. This is what it has done to the Catholic Church. It's just one example, but all other religions as well. They talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. And it revives their sin, really, and it makes them want to deal with their sin. I have to now deal with my sin. And this is what they're not understanding. How can you not understand this? But many people don't. What you were seeing on the cross was sin being dealt with. But they see it more as a bleeding heart Savior who wanted to show you how much he cared for you. It's more his disposition and his attitude and his love that's emphasized instead of the practical result of it. And again, this produces religious people. It's a really strange thing that the cross can be that big of a, that important of a fulcrum, that it drives people one of two ways. And the majority are going into the way of, what must I now do to be worthy of what that poor man went through? That's immature reaction to the cross. It's a human reaction to the cross. It's a fleshly reaction to the cross. It produces an actual practical enemy of the cross, because this is not what the cross intended to do. Maybe the sacrifices in Israel, yes. Maybe the little lambs, they got their poor little necks slit. And maybe even Jesus as the antitype of the sacrificial lamb. Maybe I could see it if you're going to talk about a mere sacrifice. But when you're talking about the Roman stake, it wasn't even a cross. The Greek word is staros. It's a stander, one pole. When you're talking about that, you're in a whole different ballgame than a caring man, a loving man doing something for me. You're talking about a whole different ballgame. This is what happened. If you're mature, you're going to hear this message. If you're immature, you're not going to hear it. But if you're immature and you're hearing it, then maybe this is going to change your mind. This is Paul in Romans 6, starting with verse 4. We then, and he's speaking of himself and fellow members of the body of Christ. And if you're not yet a member of the body of Christ, maybe this will push you into a new realm of existence. And this is the best realm you can be in. It's called death. It's called, well, I'm just going to read it. We then were entombed together with him through baptism into death, that even as Christ was roused from the dead through the glory of the Father, thus we also should be living, walking in newness of life. For if we have become planted together in the likeness of his death, all this is, again, identifying with his death. And so you have to see, in a sense, you died, in a sense. I'm not talking about literal death. Obviously, we're still breathing. I'm talking about considering your old humanity to have died. If we have become planted together in the likeness of his death, I'm in verse 5 of Romans chapter 6. Nevertheless, we shall be of the resurrection also, knowing this. Here's what you need to know. This is verse 6 of Romans 6. That it's a good way to remember. Romans 6, 6. Here it is. Our old humanity was crucified together with him, that the body of sin may be nullified, for us to be no longer slaving for sin. For one who dies has been justified from sin. If you see the cross and you go, God, that's the end of me. This man did everything. How could it have gotten worse? How could any extremity have been more extreme? This is why the graphic description of the Lord's passion. And when you see the Lord's passion, or when you read about it, when you hear about it, again, it's supposed to undo you. You're not supposed to say, what can I do for that man? You're supposed to realize, I am freaking finished. There's nothing more I can do. That's the truth of Romans 6. You were crucified together with sin. And this means you're dead to sin. It doesn't mean you don't sin anymore. It just means you're dead to the impulse that you've had your entire life to fight with your sin, to somehow get sin out of your life, to somehow come to grips with the fact that I'm a sinner. I'm not saying we all still don't sin. We do. But it's this struggle. It's this guilt that is hung around your neck by religions. I don't care what religion you're in, the Catholic, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal. I don't care how bright the altar or how eloquent the preacher, they're all still wrestling with sin. They have not come to the new creation. They have not seen that your old humanity was crucified with Christ and that you were entombed with Christ, and you're done. You're finished. Now you don't have to worry about your sin. You don't have to think about your sin. Again, it doesn't mean you don't sin. It just means it's no longer lord over you. Paul says, don't let sin be lording it over you. How can something lord it over you if it doesn't exist? The fact that we're encouraged to not let sin lord it over us, it ought to be self-evident that sin still exists. It has to, in order for you not to let it lord it over you. But again, people are challenged by the cross, and they don't go this way generally because you have to give up on your flesh. You have to give up on yourself. You have to give up on the entire old humanity. Paul said we're of a new humanity in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How can we be in a new humanity if I'm still old? I'm still looking in the mirror. I still feel like I'm in the old humanity. Well, that's what you see in the mirror, but we're to walk according to spirit, not according to flesh. We're to walk according to faith, not according to observation. And so your faith tells you that you're a new creation. So now you can live and breathe, and you can enjoy your life without this constant second-guessing yourself, constantly worrying, constantly confessing your sins. That's a circumcision truth. You confess your sin every day. Every day I go to bed, I confess my sins. A lot of people tell me that. It's okay to be sorry and tell people you're sorry. I even tell God I'm sorry once in a while, but it's a cosmetic thing. It helps me. I know deep down that I'm justified. Justified is pronounced righteous. Considered to be righteous by God. That's what it says. We should by no means still be slaving for sin. It's verse 7 of Romans 6. For one who dies has been justified from sin, from it, away from it, even while you're doing it. This is the secret to that. This is how you do it, by recognizing that you died with Christ and you were entombed with him, and that the body of sin may be nullified in the future. But I realized yesterday that the snare of the cross produces enemies of the cross, and enemies of the cross are not who you would think they would be. I want you to hear Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 17. Paul says, become imitators together of me, brethren, and be noting those who are walking thus, according as you have us for a model. For many are walking, That is, many are in the realm of the faith, of whom I often told you, yet now am lamenting also as I tell it, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. He doesn't say they're enemies of Christ. They're actual enemies of the cross of Christ. And these are the people I described earlier who see the cross as a challenge instead of a death. They rise to the occasion rather than fall on their faces empty and finished. Enemies of the cross whose consummation is destruction. Now, destruction in the Greek simply means loss. Enemies of the cross suffer loss because they're religious without being true believers. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about two different kinds of unbelievers. There are two different kinds of unbelievers, not just one, but two. I did say two. And I'm really talking about one of those brands of unbelievers now. They're friends of Christ. They say his name. They do things in his name. They've taken his name, but they've taken it in vain because they're actual enemies. They resist the true purpose of the cross, not the sacrifice. I'm not talking about the sacrifice. I'm not talking about the type of the lamb. I'm talking about the cross. Paul specifically mentions the cross here. It's that horribleness of it. It's the manner of his death that eliminates the old humanity. I've said this many times before. If Jesus Christ was merely the fulfillment of the Old Testament types, then he would have been laid down upon the altar, had his throat mercifully slit, his blood would have drained out, which would have eliminated all his sensations because the soul is in the blood. He would have had no pain because they try to kill the animals painlessly. They use a very sharp knife and the blood drains and that's it. That's what would have happened to him. But something, and Christians are all for that. They're all aligned with that because it doesn't do away with the old humanity. That makes a sacrifice for Israel to believe in so that they can come into their nice little 1,000-year kingdom. Sounds like I'm belittling it. No, it's a great thing. I'm belittling it only in relation to this call, to the cross of Christ. Whole different ballgame here. You need to see that. Who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose consummation is loss. Doesn't mean they're burning in hell for eternity. Doesn't mean they'll never get to God. It just means they've temporarily missed the boat because they haven't been given the faith to understand this. For some reason, ladies and gentlemen, it's a gift of God completely. When I saw Jesus of Nazareth in 1979, that film, television movie starring Robert Powell that comes on every Easter, my first question was not, what can I do for this man? Wow, how can I pay him back for this amazing sacrifice? No, the cross got right to me, the manner of the death. And I did realize that I was finished. And my first question was, what the hell happened there? What the hell happened? See, it was my focus, and I thank God for this, my focus was instantly on the cross, not on myself. Weird. Yeah. I wanted to know what happened. Why was it so radical? Why was it so dramatic? And that was my prayer. That was my cry out to God. What happened there? And I thank God, again, I thank God for that. I was instantly given the faith that aligns with Romans chapter 6. I was crucified with Christ. It wasn't about me at all. But now let's talk about people to whom it is all about them. These are enemies of the cross, whose consummation is loss, temporary loss. And here's a killer. Listen to this. Whose God is their bowels. What does that mean? Are we talking about the small intestines with large intestines? No. The bowels in the scripture is a figure of speech for the strength, for the intention, for a great purpose. It's almost like girding up your loins. It's not talking about your literal loins. It's talking about just get strong. Get purposeful, get real. The old Christian cry, onward Christian soldiers, the battle cry of every church you go to. Let's get her done. There used to be a pastor in the local church where I lived in Greenwich, Ohio. His big phrase was, get her done. Get her done. Get her done. Get her done. Get what done? Get what done? They're going to go out and make disciples of all the nations. Of course, it's a premature attempt at a divine work, misconstruing Matthew 28:28, but that's another topic. But it's really not, because their God, small g, is their Baals, and whose glory is their shame. It's actually shameful to see the cross, not the sacrifice, the cross of Christ. It's actually shameful to see that and gird yourself up for war. That's shameful. But they glory in it. Get her done. Glory in that. Let's do it for Jesus. They glory in that. But it's actually their shame. One more description of the enemies of the cross. Who to the terrestrial are disposed. They're disposed to earthly things. The terrestrial. The old earth is still alive to these people. Not only the old earth that I'm sitting on now, and you're sitting on now, but the old earth of the old humanity. The old humanity has not died to these people. This is a goad for the old humanity. They're digging up the old humanity. No, it's never even been killed to them. And so they're goading it. Yes, they're taking a riding crop and swatting the rump of the old humanity and pushing it on. Let's do this. Get her done? Get her done? No,